I am Jixiao Li, a third year PhD student from Stony Brook University. Here I'm going to give a talk titled Power Consumption in Enterprise Scale Backup Storage Systems. This is a joint work with Kevin Greenland and Andrew Long from the Backup Recovery System Division of EMC and my advisor, Eric Zadok from Stony Brook University. So if you have a question, please don't hesitate to ask towards the end of the presentation. Okay, let's start with motivation. How to design power managed backup storage systems. Disk-based backup storage system has been a prime candidate for power management because it stores lots of code data, leaving large potential for power management, and it must compete with no power tape-based backup storage systems. However, there's no previous empirical study about power management to guide good design of those systems. And the previous study often just follows spec sheets and based on guess and assumptions. That may not be true. And one of those examples is that people may often assume that the disk will dominate power consumption. And we therefore go ahead, do the measurements, and have some interesting observations that go against assumptions. Okay, let's take a look at the methodology before we give any interesting numbers. This is the system architecture, just to give you a little bit more information. So the clients are collected to the backup controller by backup protocols like NFS, Symantec OSD, or EMC Boost. The EMC Boost is a plugin for Symantec OSD and is doing chunking on the client side. The clients send backup streams to the backup controller, and the backup controller is running DDFS deduplication file system, performs deduplication, and store data to the external enclosure. For each one controller, it can collect up to 50 external enclosures. That's 1 PB in physical capacity and 10 PB in logical deduplication capacity. We measured 4 enterprise backup controllers. Here's the table summarizing the controller hardware specs. So the first line is the controller name. DD stands for data domain, then followed by the model number, DD to be decided. It's a model that the name of the model has not been decided yet. Then we have ship year from 2009 to 2011. DD to be decided is still experimental. Then we have market region. DD670 is a low-end controller. That means it has less resources. And for the rest 3 controllers, they are high-end, therefore they have more resources. Then followed by the number of CPUs and RAM capacities, we can see that in order to perform deduplication, those controllers actually require more CPU numbers and larger RAM. We also measured 2 enterprise backup enclosures. Here's one table summarizing the enclosure hardware specs. We have enclosure ES20 and ES30. ES stands for enclosure. We have ship year from 2006 to 2011. Then followed by number of disks, ES20 has one more disk than that of ES30. And on average, one SATA disk consumes 6 to 8 watts in idle and 8 to 12 watts in active. Then we have a number of SAS controller cards for enclosure and then number of fans. We use power meter to measure the power consumption for both controller and enclosure as well. In the system level, we do not measure the power consumption in networking, in cooling, and in internal subcomponents. Okay, then let's take a look at the idle power consumption that generally indicates the minimum amount of power the powered on hardware could consume without running workloads, without running background jobs. Let's first take a look at the idle power consumption for controller. So this is the table. We can see from table that DD to be decided consumes 778 watts. It is so high that the power consumption is more than that of 102 terabyte SATA drives. And if we take a look at DD880 and DD860, even though the hardware of those two controllers are similar, DD880 consumes 2 times more power than that of DD860. And the reason why the power consumption, idle power consumption in those controllers are so high is mainly because in order to perform deduplication, actually requires more CPUs, larger RAM capacity, and therefore the power consumption goes up. In order to better give a comparison, we also take a look at the normalized watts per terabyte. So if we take a closer look at a table from DD880 to DD to be decided, the normalized watts per terabyte goes down from 2.89 to 0.675. With DDA80 and DD670, the numbers look similar. And we can see that newer hardware generations are more efficient. And we also take a look at the idle power consumption for enclosure as well. If we take a look at a table, we see that the idle power consumption of ES30 is less than that of ES20, and that number including all the power down disks. And the reason why ES30 is more efficient is because ES30 has newer power supply, temperature-based fan speed, and newer sales controller. Therefore, the ES30 is more efficient. Then one question people would ask is like, does deduplication really save power? And the answer is yes. Deduplication saves space, sometimes up to 10 times, and therefore it saves the requirement for hardware. So it requires less controllers, less enclosures, and networking facilities, therefore greatly reduce the power consumption. And deduplication also reduces the disk I/O. Therefore, it performs data processing faster and leaving longer idle time for power management. All right, let's then take a look at the power management. So systems often power manage disks by either spin down or power down. Power down means the disk is off, and spin down means the disk is powered on, but the platter and head are stopped. Let's first take a look at spin down. So by spin down, in the case of ES20, the idle power consumption goes down by 37%. And for ES30, it goes down by 55%. It saves roughly 100 watts for both the enclosures, and on average, spin down saves 6.5 watts per disk. And then let's take a look at power down. So for ES20, the idle power consumption goes down by 44%. And for ES30, it goes down by 78%. That's 34% more than that of ES20. And on average, power down saves 7.6 watts to 9.3 watts per disk. And if we take a closer look at ES20 in case of power down, we see that the idle power consumption goes down from 278 watts to 155 watts. And if we subtract 155 watts from 278 watts, that gives us the idle power consumption for the disk it hosts, and that's 123 watts. But even that is less than 155 watts for the power consumption of ES20. And that leads us to think that the ES20 itself, excluding the disks, uses more power than just the 16 disks it hosts. And the power supply efficiency matters in this case. And it may also means spin down or power down may not be that effective as you may think, at least in the situation of ES20. Then let's take a look at disk spin down at scale. People often assume that at a scale, the disk power consumption often dominate the total power consumption. But I will prove that that's not the case. We did that for systems with one controller and 32 enclosures. We did that for enclosures in the high-end market and for two enclosures. So in total, that gives us six combinations. This is one figure. The x-axis is the number of spin-down enclosures, and the y-axis is the percentage of power saving. Higher means better. And in order to save 20% power, in the best case of DDA60 and ES30, 13 out of 32 enclosures must be spin-down. That's 40%. And in the worst case, to save 20% power, in the case of DD2BDCD and ES20, 19 out of 32 enclosures must be spun down. That's 60%. And through all the compilations, when we spin down all the enclosures, only two compilations that can save more than 50% of power. And in the best case of DD860 and ES30, when we spin down all the enclosures, only 52% of power has been saved. And that really says the disk may not be so power hungry. Okay, let's then take a look at power proportionality, which generally says that the power should increase in proportional to the amount of running workload. So let's take a look at power proportionality for controller first. Here's one table summarizing the disk power increase percentage from idle to loaded. running workloads like NFS, Semantic OSD, and EMC Boost that mimic the real application workload. In order to better understand what numbers means in a table, let's just give you one example. Say 24%. 24% means here that when the clients are connected to the server DD670 by NFS protocol and send backup streams to DD670, the power consumption of DD670 goes up by 24% on average from idle to being loaded. And if we take a closer look at a table, it actually results are very interesting because the power varies more by model than by workload. In the case of DDA80 and DDA60, the power increase percentages are always larger than that of DD670 and DD2BD-sided. And you may wonder, why should we care about power proportionality? Because, say, according to power proportionality, the power should increase in proportional to the amount of running workload. That means when the system is idle, the idle power consumption should be take only a small fraction of total power consumption. However, in the case like we said before, the idle power consumption of a controller is actually high, right? That means the idle part, the controller actually consumes more power than it is needed in idle, if it were power proportional. We also take a look at the power proportionality for enclosure as well. So this is the table summarizing the maximum power the enclosure could consume. We did that by saturating the disk using one internal tool. And if we take a closer look at the table, we see that in the case of ES20, only 22% increase from idle to max. And in the case of ES30, only 15% increase. What does it mean? That means a lot of power is actually consumed while idle. All right, I think with all that, it's time to conclude. We want to conclude that controller and enclosure are actually power hungry. For example, DD2BD-sided consumes more power than a 102 terabyte SATA disk, and ES20 itself consumes more power than the 16 disk it hosts. And disk may not be the prime power consumer. And the power management may go beyond the disk to target controller and enclosure as well. And we also want to conclude that the current systems are not power proportional because the active versus idle varies differently and varies more by model than by workload. And more advanced technologies are actually desired to deal with the idle power consumption. And we also want to conclude that the different power consumptions between even similar hardware, the normalized watts per terabyte decreases from 2.89 to 0.675, the new hardware with new hardware being more efficient. And we hope to see the continuing trend from the hardware manufacturer. For the future work, we also want to measure the age backup systems in order to have a better understanding of the power consumption in those systems. And we also want to measure the primary storage systems to have a better understanding about power consumption in the primary storage systems as well. And we also want to investigate individual components power consumption like the CPU, like the RAM, and we believe with more built-in sensors, it can give us more interesting numbers. And there are also additional results in the paper, and there is a poster section at a reception tonight. You're more than welcome to check it out. And with all that, I think that's pretty much it. You've been very attentive. I'm ready to take questions. Thanks.
Brent Welch from Panassus. Mm-hmm. On your high-end TBD controller, you divide by the number of disks to get the watt per disk or watt per terabyte. How realistic is it to fully populate that controller with, 30 enclosures or something?
It can potentially collect up to 50 enclosures.
Right. So that controller also has to do RAID to protect those drives, right? So that's a lot of drives. And at what point does your dedupe controller spend more time doing RAID rebuilds than it's doing decompression? So would you really recommend that your customer load it up with 50 enclosures?
It actually depends on what's the requirement for the customer, right? If, say, the customer wants larger capacity, then from the EMC's perspective, they need to provide the customer with that capacity. As for like the power cost, it really depends on how much the customer want to pay for that and whether the customer buy it or not, right? So that actually depends.
Thanks.